Well, first of all, I want to start by thanking you as a church for allowing me the opportunity to be here, allowing me the opportunity to just share with you, and I am so thankful that for you as a congregation. And you may be aware, you may not be aware, that you as a congregation support the ministry that I represent. I'm the director of Bridge to Hope. And on a monthly basis, you as a congregation give financially to our ministry. And for that, I am truly, truly thankful. I want to thank you for your willingness to support us. And I know a number of you have taken a specific interest in the work that is taking place. And let me tell you a little bit about Bridge to Hope to begin with. Bridge to Hope started about 6 years ago. And it's a ministry that is for those right now, men. We've got four homes, and it ministers to those that are either struggling with addictions or are in a place of homelessness. Those that often society takes a look at and says, uh-uh, not sure what to do with them, not sure what to say, not sure how to minister to, even as churches. And so God has called me and a few others to minister to these men. These men come to us from Catholic Charities, from OCO, from the Victory Transformation, word of mouth, and especially coming to wintertime as it is, we will see more and more men come to be a part of this program. And we're thankful for the opportunity to minister the gospel, most of all, but as well as meet the physical needs of these individuals. And it's churches like you supporting us that makes this even possible. And we are very thankful for the opportunity to have these men be a part of the program for up to a year. It's transitional housing, and it's a program that we rely upon other programs that already exist, Farnham and other ways, get them connected in there for their addiction problems or other things. And then we give them a place to live. We come alongside them. We travel the journey with them, build relationship with them to say, how can we minister to them? And so it's this type of ministry that God has called us to at this point. We're looking to expand our ministry a little bit in the coming weeks and months. There's a need for a clothing ministry. There's a need for furniture for individuals in our community. We are desire to meet the needs of our community, but not just meet the needs, meet the needs of them hearing about Jesus, most of all. An example of one of the men that has become a part or was a part of our program was a young man. He was in his early 20s, mid-20s, and I got a phone call from Oswego Health. And they said, we've got this young man that we know of that we got a phone call about. He's living on the streets, has been on the streets about four nights. He's been homeless and is homeless once again. Do you have any room? I said, yes, I have a room that is available. And they said, there's one issue with this young man. He's a convicted pedophile. Is it still okay? And I said, of course it's okay. And so we took this young man in, and he only needed to be there for 30 days. And I got to know this young man, and the fact is that every one of these men have stories. It's not just they've landed here and this is who they are. There's reasons why they have taken the path in life that they have. And as I heard this young man's story and the brokenness in his own life that has resulted in the brokenness for others, it breaks my heart. Just like each and every one of you have a story, each of the men that are a part of the program, the 12 men that are a part of the program right now, have a story. This young man, I believe he's back in prison now, because he failed at one point to notify the authorities that he had moved addresses. So they were sending him back for 2.5 years, I believe it was. And you just go, Lord, yes, there's physical needs of these men, but most of all, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Because how does real change take place in our lives? How does real change take place in the lives of those around us? Who's going to love individuals like this? Are you? Another young man just moved in. He's 34. He spent 14 years of his 34 years in prison. You think, whoa. He's the nicest guy. Sat down and talked with him. Who's going to love individuals like this? May I say that many of us would say, well, I could never do that. Maybe you can. Maybe you should. I dare to say all of us should. You know, we're at a time in our country right now where there's so much upheaval, and I don't have to explain what that even looks like. All of us know that. A time where I think even the church, we as believers, get distracted from what's really important, the things that God calls us to, where we spend more time on Facebook or more time arguing about whether or not we should wear masks or when we should wear masks than we do sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet God has called us to something more. And this morning I want us to look at the mission that Jesus himself was called to. And we're going to be looking in the book of Luke. And if you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you would turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, if you don't have your Bibles, I hope you can turn to in a Bible to the person next to you. And here Jesus declares his mission. And that's what I want us to look at. It's not only a mission that Jesus was declaring for himself, but I believe it's a mission that he has called us as individuals, as the church corporately, but as the church individually to fulfill in and of ourselves. And I want us to just read this passage together. And Jesus here is in Nazareth, his hometown, and he's in the synagogue, and he's there proclaiming, and he's quoting from the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me as I read the Word of God, and just follow along in your Bibles. And Jesus here quotes from a passage in Isaiah that was meant for Israel when they were taken back and being brought back from Babylon. But here he's talking not about captives in terms of Israel, but he's talking about the captives that you and I know and maybe are here this morning. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21 is where we're going to read this morning. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." You may be seated. Here Jesus is proclaiming, this is why I have come. This is my purpose. And if I were to ask you this morning, we're not going to take the time this morning, but if I were to say, what is your purpose? What has God called you to do as an individual, as a believer in Jesus Christ? What has God called you to do? What is your mission? What is he said? This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to be involved in. This is what I have called the big picture of who you ought to be as a believer in Jesus Christ. Who are you? And Jesus said, this is what I have been called to do. He says very specifically, his mission was to reach the poor, to deliver the captives, to restore sight to the blind, and lift up the downtrodden. Let's look at each of these individually. The first is that of preach the gospel to the poor. Well, to preach means to announce. Announce the good news. One of the things that we as believers have fallen into the lie, I believe, of Satan is, well, I just need to live a certain way so people can see the gospel. Now, that is a very true statement, but an incomplete statement. Let me tell you, apart from hearing the gospel spoken, people are going to hell. You need to speak the truth of who Jesus is. It's not good enough. It's important, but it's not good enough for us just to live good lives. Where people go, wow, you're a good person. Why do you do that? That does open doors. I know it does. But they need to hear the gospel announced, proclaimed, of who Jesus is, what he did, why did he come, why did he die on the cross? Jesus came to those that were needy, physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands this morning. How many of you feel in a place of need? I know I do. I know I do. Jesus expresses concern specifically for the poor. He's not saying those that are wealthy don't matter. That's not what he's saying. But he says specifically the poor, the forgotten of this world. He says those are the ones that I came to specifically minister to at this time. It would be politically incorrect for you and I today to speak against the poor. It is politically incorrect. But have you ever caught yourself? Once again, do not respond to these questions. But have you ever caught yourself saying, ugh, if they'd only get a job? Well, why don't they just? Why do they choose to live that way? Why don't they just stop using drugs? Why don't they stop drinking? Why don't they? Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Have you ever found that as somebody that is not like you enters into the doors of this service, that there's a sense of maybe they don't look like you. Maybe they don't smell like you. Maybe they just plain old smell. And you just go, man, I wish they would have. Jesus would preach the gospel to them, announce the good news to them. A gospel of what? This is prior to Jesus dying. Have you ever thought about it when he talks about the gospel? What does he mean? We think about the gospel of, well, Jesus died on the cross. What was the gospel before Jesus even died? That's a good study for you to do at some point. What was the gospel? And I'm not going to fully answer you to that, but it was much of what John had to say at the baptism when he said, it's a gospel of repentance. It's a gospel of faith. It's a gospel of turning from where you once lived to where you need to be. It's a gospel of change. It's a gospel of submission. It's a gospel of saying, God, whatever you desire for me, it's a gospel of faith. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say if you're physically poor, then you're going to be spiritually wealthy. Or nowhere in the scriptures does it say if you're wealthy in terms of material goods that you're spiritually poor. But God has called us to a place of ministry to those that don't have. What is your condition today? Are you living in a place of poverty? When Jesus speaks directly and simply to you, he wants you to believe and enjoy the benefits of salvation. We are wealthy, amen? Are you wealthy in terms of material needs? Let me just say your allegiance to Jesus needs to be stronger than your allegiance to anything else. To give it all up for him, would you be willing? If God tapped you on the shoulder this morning and says, I want you to move to Africa this week. Well, I can't because of COVID. No. If God taps you on the shoulder and said, I want you to sell all your earthly possessions and I want you to move to Africa, would you? Or a foreign country like Canada or something like that. I'm Canadian, by the way, so I can say those kind of things. Let's look at the second thing he says here. Proclaim and release the captives. Well, is he talking about slaves here? Is he talking about that physical bondage? Captives refer to those that whose lives are dominated and controlled by the enemy. They're prisoners of Satan. We are all in a place of captivity at one time because we're all captives to sin. We're born into sin. That's who we are. And Jesus has said, I have come to proclaim the release of the captives. It's referring to those habits, those attitudes, those lifestyles that you cannot control, where there's no peace, no joy, no comfort, where you're captive to sin. Because we're all born into sin. Jesus encountered Satan many times in his ministry, even further on in Luke chapter 4. It says, and in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst, he came out, having done him no harm. The ultimate fulfillment of being released as captives is one day when we enter in from this world into the next. The Bible tells us that there's going to be one day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I would rather do that willingly here today than being forced someday to do that. Are you in a place of being captive, where sin has such a hold on you? Jesus says, I've come to bring release for you. That was his purpose. Have you been overpowered by sin? Are you enslaved? Jesus is saying, come, come. Thirdly, he proclaimed recovery of sight to the blind. Now, hundreds of years, the Jews had sought the Messiah, and they had this set of rules that they had come up with of saying, if I'm going to obey God and get close to God, then I need to. And what had happened is they had become slaves to rituals, slaves to a way of life, but it didn't lead them closer to God. Now, dare I say that as Jesus was rejected, He said, I have come to bring sight to the blind. He came to remove and simply say, what's it take for you to be close to me? COVID. We're all walking that journey somewhat together. For a period of time, you could not meet as a church, right? Let me ask, how was your relationship with Jesus during that time? Once again, don't answer these questions out loud. Is our relationship with Jesus based on meeting together on a Sunday morning? Dare I say, for some, a ritual? Or is our relationship with God based on the fact that we know Him personally, intimately, and that we desire daily to walk with Him? My hope is that you, as an individual, can say, you know what, even though we didn't meet as a church, my relationship with God flourished. Has COVID driven you away from God or towards God? He does not have COVID. He doesn't have to remain 6 feet away or wear a mask. He wants us to come to Him, to be vulnerable before Him fully. Do you believe that Jesus can not only spiritually set us free, but physically? Do you believe that God has the ability to physically heal today still? When's the last time you saw a bona fide miracle? From the guys in the house, we do Bible study every Monday night. It's part of the requirement of living in the house. They have to come together 7 o'clock Monday nights. If you want to do anything for Bridge to Hope, pray 7 o'clock every Monday night that God's Spirit would be powerfully working in these men's lives. But one of the main questions that I get from these men is, well, I don't see God working. I don't see the miracles today. How do you respond to that? When's the last time you saw a miracle? Well, just the other night, there's an elderly gentleman that we went and saw, and my wife and I. He said, I had this tooth out. You might think this is just by chance. I had this tooth out, and it was bleeding for a couple of days, and then it stopped. And then it started it again, and then it stopped, and then for a couple of days it was bleeding again. And he was sitting having supper, and he just said, God, please stop this bleeding. You know what happened? It bled more. No, it didn't bleed anymore. At that moment, God healed. And you say, well, that was just by chance. No. Do you recognize the miracles that God does in your life? Do you recognize? Are you looking for them? They're there. I believe it. I could tell you miracle after miracle of what God has done in order to bring Bridge to Hope to fruition. I don't have time this morning. So that's what God has called me to. Then he says, fourthly, set free the downtrodden. Jesus is concerned about the broken, the crushed, the spiritually, physically. Jesus came with a heart of compassion. I believe he was one of those that would get down on the ground when he saw children coming. And he would scoop them up and hold them even while he was preaching. I believe that he was one of those that when he saw something taking place over here, he'd say, just a moment. And he'd go over and he'd minister to that need. I believe Jesus, when It came to ministering to the broken and downtrodden. He was ministering to people like us. Is your heart broken this morning? Are you feeling downtrodden this morning? Financially, you're just going, I don't know how I'm going to pay those bills. Physically, you're going, I'm just living in fear because of COVID. I'm living. Jesus was set apart, and he's sent by the Spirit to set at liberty those who are downtrodden and bruised. Feel overwhelmed this morning? The mission of Jesus. It's very clear what Jesus was called to, but I believe it's the same thing he calls us to. Jesus, in fulfilling his mission, wasn't easy. It was hard. It cost him his life. There's one writer said this: a missional theology is not content with mission being a church-based work. Rather, it applies to the whole life of every believer, every disciple to be an agent of the kingdom of God, and every disciple is to carry the mission of God into every sphere of life. We are all missionaries sent into a non-Christian culture. Missional represents a significant shift in the way we think about the church. As a people of a missionary God, we ought to engage the whole world the same way he does, by going out rather than just reaching out. To obstruct this movement is to block God's purpose in and through his people. When the church is on mission, it is the true church. It's easy for us as churches, and I was a pastor for 25 years, to say, people come, people come, people come. We'll leave even the doors open so they know we're in here. People come, people come. But I believe the most important thing we can do as a church is people go. People go. You go. You go. You go. Because God has called us to fulfill his mission here on earth. And what is that mission? Well, he was very specific. He says, preach to the poor. When's the last time you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody? Well, you know, I rake my neighbor's leaves. Well, if you want to rake somebody's leaves, come over to my house. No. You know what? Well, I did this. Well, no. When is the last time you shared that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, for your sins? When's the last time you shared those words with anybody? Because that is the way of salvation. It's not about works. Preaching to the poor, the captives being set free. Have you been set free? Are you here this morning and that you know Jesus Christ? I don't know any of you or very many of you. But are you held captive by sin? The blind may see. Are we blind as a church right now? Are we so focused on COVID, on masks, on the political situation that we've lost sight, that we're blind, we only see this far because, oh, did you read on Facebook what that person put? That we have become so blind in and of ourselves, that we're so into our rituals and what we think is important, that we've lost sight of what God has called us to do. I would challenge you to take a media fast for even 2 or 3 days. See how it changes your perspective. The time that you would normally spend on Facebook or whatever, that you would go out and visit a neighbor, that you would open your Bible. Blind are seen, the downtrodden are set free. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, what are the greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then what's he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a whole different sermon. You might say, well, I don't love myself very much, and baloney. God has placed a call when he said, I have come to do these things. I believe it's our call today. It's our call. Not to walk past anymore. Set your agenda aside. To hear other people's stories. To say, this is the truth of the gospel. This is what has made a difference in my life. You know what? One of the young men that has been in Bridge to Hope, he was working two jobs. Cars for Change is something else that we're working at, where we buy cars or people donate cars, and then we sell them back to the individuals that are working in the program, and then they have transportation to go to work and work outside. He got a car, and he came straight from prison, actually, into my program, or into the program, not my program. And during COVID, we stopped meeting for Bible study because it was difficult. He said, when can we do that again? Can we do it through Zoom or something? He's moved on now and has got his own place and is doing very well. But doing well versus following Jesus are two different things. What do these people need the most? What do you need the most? What do I need the most? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Jen, if you wouldn't mind coming back up, please. And I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we'll be done with those that are in your living rooms or wherever, and then we're just going to have a bit of a time of prayer here this morning. I'm going to have some instruction for you. But let me just pray. Father God, I want to thank you that you are a God who reaches down even today and ministers to those that are poor, those that are downtrodden, those that are broken. Lord, you set the captives free. You've offered each of one of us through your death on the cross to be free from captivity. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the victory that is ours. And Lord, this morning I just pray that we would live a life of faith. Life that no longer says, well, I don't know, that's not me, I can't. People are dying and going to hell. Does it matter to us? Father, break our hearts. Break us of those habits that we may be set free. in order to serve you as you have called us to, God. Lord, may we pick up on what your mission is, what you have called us individually and corporately as a church. May we pick up on that and say, God, each day I want to live that out. Each day, God, I want to commit myself to be that person. Preach the good news. Set the captives free. To bring sight to the blind. And see the downtrodden be set free. Lord, help us to look past ourselves, even our present situations. Say, God, I want to live for you and not myself. Pray this in Jesus' name.